according to his ability. He just gets the satisfaction that he has obeyed the word of the God and he has done everything according to the word of God. So, literally speaking, the offerer gets nothing but the satisfaction. What is God's portion? What does God get? God gets everything. Whatever is burned, that belongs to God, and the sweet or the peak point of it, the climax point of it, is God gets the sweet aroma, the sweet fragrance, that is the God's portion. And what is the priest's portion? Already we have read that verse. Skin of the animal is a portion for the priest. That is the verse which is mentioned, Leviticus chapter 7, verse 8. That priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering. Now we have seen one triplex here. There is another triplex. And the other triplex in the burnt offering is, there is blood. There is body. And there is skin. And we know that what happened in case of the blood? The blood was sprinkled around the altar. What happened to the body? The body was burned on the altar. And I have in my first session, in the first introductory session, I said that there is another Hebrew name for the burnt offering. What is that Hebrew name for the burnt offering? Yes? Yeah. You are saying something. Yeah? It is an ascending offering. Why it is an ascending offering? Because when the body is burned on the altar, the flames are ascends towards the upward direction. And that is why in Hebrew, the another name for burnt offering is an ascending offering. And the skin. What happened to the skin? The skin is a portion for the priest on earth. So this is the triplex. And let us apply this triplex in case of Lord Jesus Christ. And let us apply this triplex in our case also. Now, what happened in case of the blood? Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood on the altar of Calvary cross. What happened to his body? And we know that he ascended to the heaven. In Gospel of John chapter 20 verse 17, Lord says to Mary, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father." So the blood of Lord Jesus Christ was shed on the cross of Calvary, which is again a picture of altar. Bodily, he ascended in the heaven. And what happened to the skin? We are covered with the robe of righteousness. Let us read one scriptural portion. And I have that portion for you in the slides. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27 says that. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. What happened to the skin? Skin is portion for you and me who are priests in New Testament. We are covered with Lord Jesus Christ. We have the robe of righteousness. Now, when God looks at human being, especially when God looks at believer, looks at you and me, actually speaking, God do not see yourself and myself, but God sees Lord Jesus Christ, because we are covered with Lord Jesus Christ. There are many scriptures apart from Galatians chapter 3 verse 27. There are many scriptures which says that we are in Christ. So we are in Christ, as it is that we are covered with the robe of righteousness. We are covered with Lord Jesus Christ himself, and we are in Christ. Nobody on the face of the earth will receive the blessings unless he cover Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, and then there is one comparison in the Old Testament also. I thought I will share it to you. It literally do not apply, but there is some applications which we can draw out. Isaac decided to bless his sons, and he wanted to bless Esau. But it was in the mind of God, and God thought that instead of Esau, Jacob should be blessed. So to get the blessings, what Jacob did? Jacob wore the clothes of Esau, and he made all that drama. We are aware of it. And that is how Jacob got the blessings. Now, if anybody like you and me, if we want ourselves to be blessed, no one can be blessed on the face of the earth unless he cover Lord Jesus Christ himself. Without Christ, nobody will get any kind of blessings. And that is how God has decided. God has promised to Abraham also. And Galatians, we also see that God told Abraham that from you and from that seed, that is singular, he will bless all the generation. And who is that seed? That is none but Lord Jesus Christ. There is another picture of Lord Jesus Christ and skin and covering in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, I believe, which the story goes like this. It is a Noah's Ark. And what happened in the Noah's Ark, and what happened at the time of the flood? 8 persons, and not only 8 people, but there were animals also, they entered in the Ark of Noah. And whoever entered in the Ark of Noah, they were so much safe, they are so much protected. So the Ark of Noah, we know it very well, it is a picture of Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever is in him, they are safe. Whoever is in him, they are blessed. Whoever are in him, they are saved and they are very much secured and they are protected. So this is the application, that we are covered with Lord Jesus Christ himself. And because of Lord Jesus Christ, we are blessed and we are going to enjoy the highest blessings in the days to come, not only on earth, but also when we go in our home, that is a heaven. Now, let us see that the priest gets the skin. What are the benefits of the skin? What do the priest will do of the skin? What are the advantages? Now, those days, the people used to travel from one place to another, especially those days, those early days, their traveling was from the desert. And when they are traveling with the desert, the water will not be available anywhere they go. The second shortage is the food is also will not be available anywhere they go. So these are the two things, the food and the water. And the skin was mainly used for these two purposes. What they used to do with the skin? There are 4 slides which are ahead of us. And just look at these slides. And from these slides, we will come to know that what they used to do with the skin. They used to, according to the shape and size of the animal, according to the shape and size of the skin, they will decide how to use it, whether to use it for storing the water or to use it for storing the grains. And along with their journey in the desert or wherever they go, they will carry these things. So the skin was, the animal's skin's benefit was dual. It is for the protection. It is protection from the outside damage. You know how thick is the animal skin compared to the man's skin? It is 7 times thicker than man's skin. So when anything that is kept inside the animal skin properly, we are very much sure that it is safe from the outside damage. It is a for protection. The second purpose of the skin, or the second advantage benefit of the skin, was it is for the preservation. Whatever is kept inside, maybe water or maybe grains, they are very much sure that it will last for a very long time. Whenever they want, next month or next year, whenever they want to take the grain back and use it during their journey or during their home or whatever it is, they are very much sure that it is preserved. So these are the two, at least two main benefits, main advantage of the skin. The first advantage is for the protection, and the second advantage is for the preservation. And how it applies to you and me. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. I will read only the important part of it. Chapter 10 of Gospel of John, 28 and 29. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And there is one more verse in the Gospel of John, which says that, without his permission, not even single hair from our head will drop. So, we believers, we are so much protected because of Lord Jesus Christ. We are so much protected. No one can snatch. Who will snatch us from God's hand? And we have the double protection. We have the double security. Because we are not only in the hand of Lord Jesus Christ, but we have again with the in the hand of the Father also. And we are so much safe. The second is the preservation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 17. How it applies for you and me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. The other translation says, we will be forever and ever with the Lord. So we are not only protected from any damage, we are not only protected in our earthly life, but also we are preserved. We are preserved for what? We are preserved for the days to come. We are preserved for one special purpose. It is not only the preservation for 100 years or 200 years, but we will be with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ eternally. Our salvation is eternally. Our salvation is so much secured. Our salvation will not be lost at any moment or under any circumstances. That is how we are preserved. And we are so much preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, we are very much protected. At the same time, we are very much preserved. There is great day which is going to come. Maybe in our lifetime journey, maybe in our journey in this age, there are trials, there are difficulties, there is always up and down. But look at that great day. Look at that great hope. Yes, that day will come. Lord Jesus Christ will come. Those who are taking rest, taking sleep, they will be resurrected first. And then who will be alive? We will be changed. And the scripture says, then after we will be with him forever. There is no end to it. That's how secured you and me we are. That's how our salvation is permanent. There is no losing of salvation. Then the second aspect is sweet savor. Shall we read one scriptural portion for that? Leviticus chapter 1 verse 9 says, Leviticus chapter 1 verse 9, and we will read only the end part of it. And the priest shall offer up in smoke all of it on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. An offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. And the similar verse or the similar sentence is repeated twice. That is the end of verse 13 and end of verse 17 or so. After each and every burnt offering is done, we have one mention of that word, that an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. Different translations again uses different words for that. In New American Standard Bible, the word which is used is soothing aroma. Maybe King James Version, it is a sweet savor. Maybe other translation, it is a fragrant. So let us draw five practical applications from this word. How sweet savor, how sweet fragrant, how soothing aroma, and how does it apply for you and me? I want to draw out five practical applications from this and let us apply it to our life. Is it still applicable? Can we still give soothing aroma? Can we still give sweet savor to our Lord also in these days? Yes, we can give it. Let me draw out five applications for that. Now, this aroma is a pleasant aroma. In God's point of view, this aroma is a pleasant aroma. In God's point of view, this aroma is a personal aroma. In man's point of view, this aroma is a painful aroma. In man's point of view, this aroma is a peaceful or it is a slow aroma. And in man's point of view, this aroma is a precious aroma. Let us look at these five applications one by one. First, we will look into the first part, how this aroma is a pleasant aroma in God's point of view. Chapter 53 of book of Isaiah verse 10. Isaiah 53 verse 10. The Lord was pleased to bruise him. The Lord was pleased to bruise him, that is Jesus Christ. It was in the mind and plan of God that he one day he will be pleased by bruising his only begotten son on the cross of Calvary for the sake of humanity. And Lord Jesus Christ accepted it willingly, and that is how he pleased his Father. He pleased Lord the Father. Lord was pleased by bruising. It was in the mind of God to bruise him. Bruise whom? Bruise his son, so that he will be pleased. So that the salvation of the humankind, salvation of the mankind, the plan and purpose of God's will be fulfilled. I don't know if any one of you have witnessed that when the flesh of the animal or flesh of the man is being burned, is there any fragrance? Is there any sweet aroma? Is there any sweet savor? Have anyone tried? At least if sisters might have tried chicken without applying any oil or any masala, just dry chicken, raw chicken. Make it into the pieces, try it in the evening or maybe tomorrow. Just put that chicken piece on the gas burner, gas stove, and just see whether you are getting any fragrance. Is there any fragrance, sister? Okay. At least you might have tried some, maybe if someone from Maharashtra, they might have tried Sukka Bombil. Okay. Bombil, anyone has tried? Okay. When you burn that, you know, that is one wonderful delicacy of Maharashtra, Bombil, Sukka Bombil. Okay. So, it is not only the, animal, but you know, you burn any flesh. If you have attended the last service or funeral service of any Hindu people or something like that, they generally burn the dead bodies. Have you witnessed any smell? Okay. So, actually speaking, when the parts or the different parts of the animal is being burned, there is no literal sweet smell. The smell will be there, the odor will be there, but it is not sweet, it is not fragrance, or it is not sweet savor at all. Last week, one of our dear brother, he was sharing that if we burn the fat, then might be the fragrance will come. Now, I don't know if anyone has witnessed that also. After, if we burn the animal fat, can there be any sweet fragrance? Yeah? No. Okay. For the time being, let us assume, because I have not witnessed it, I don't know whether there is literally smell when we burn the fat or not, but let us assume for a time being that there is a sweet smell or sweet fragrant when the fat is burned. Now let us compare it, that it is not only fat which is on the altar. Apart from the fat, there are so many things. And what are there? There is head. And we know that if we burn the head, there is no sweet fragrance. There is intestines, there are legs, and there are pieces also. And everything is getting burned together. It is not separate burning the sweat or the fat and separate burning of the another items. Now, let us see the ratio of the fat to the another pieces. What is the ratio? Fat and flesh, what is the ratio? If the bull is being offered, what will be the amount of flesh and what will be the amount of fat? What is the ratio? The ratio is, 5%. It will be 5% or less than 5. Now just imagine and assume that when we burn the fat, there will be fragrance. Now 5% fragrance is getting, and 95% there is no fragrance, and everything is getting burned together. So overall speaking, there is no sweet savor, there is no sweet smell, there is no sweet fragrance at all. But again, three times the word is repeated. It is a sweet savor for God. Sweet savor for God. Now, God is not talking about the literal sweet savor. There is no literal sweet smell, but God is talking about when he sees that everything in the burnt offering is done according to the obedience of his instruction. He is pleased to see that everything is done according to his instruction. The offerer is doing God's instruction. The priest is following God's instruction. And everything is getting done systematically. And when from heaven, God looked at the burnt offering, and when he sees that that the offerer is not doing anything else which he has not said, everything is done according to the obedience of God's instruction. And when God sees the obedience of his instruction, God is pleased with that. There is no literal, I think there is no literal smell, but there is a obedience. Now, let me prove it by giving you one more example. In the history of burnt offering, which was the best burnt offering which God have ever get, or which was the best burnt offering which might have given the best sweet fragrance, sweet savor to the God ever in the history? Which is that burnt offering? Yeah, Lord Jesus Christ. And if we see that when Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, was there any literal smell, literal fragrance? No. But then let us read one scriptural portion. From there we will understand. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8. Philippians chapter 2, we have it on the slide. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So there is no literal smell on the great burnt offering of Lord Jesus Christ, but there is obedient. Yes, there is obedient. Do we not read one scriptural portion in 1 Samuel, I think 15 verse 22, what it says? To obey is better than sacrifice. So there is no literal smell, but when God sees that everything is done according to the obedience, God likes the obedience. According to the obedience of Lord Jesus Christ, we know that he took baptism from the hand of John the Baptist. And what happened? The heaven opened, and in Matthew chapter 3 verse 17 says that God said, "This is my beloved son, I am well pleased with him." What is the great act Lord might have done so that the God the Father was so pleased? Lord just went down below the water and he just came up. But that is the act of obedient. You know, when Jesus Christ was taking the baptism, John the Baptist said that actually you should baptize me. How can I baptize you? And there is a wonderful scriptural portion, scriptural statement, reply which God Jesus Christ gave. You know what he said? It is better for you and me to do it according to the righteousness or something like that. In Marathi it is that ki apan doghani he dharmacharan purna karave he yogya hai. Let us do it according to the righteousness. So it is not a big act or it is not a small act. If you obey Lord in a smaller way, God is pleased with that. If you obey God in a bigger way, God is again pleased with that. Just look at the five different animals. Bull. When bull is being offered, God gets the sweet fragrance. At the same time, when pigeon is getting offered, God is also getting the sweet fragrance, because everything is done according to the instruction, according to the obedience of the instructions which Lord Jesus Christ gave to them. We all believers are God's servant. We all believers are God's servants, and it is a teaching of New Testament that since we are his servant, he is our master. He has right on each and everything of us. He has not only right of the positions or the things which we have, but also he has right over our life and over our death also. In the Old Testament, the master can take the life of the slave also. So similarly, we can offer our life, or similarly we can assume in our mind that I am no more master, I am no more in control, I have only one master, that is God. And if it pleases him to take my life, he can do that. Are you even willing for that? Are you even obedient? That master, if it pleases you, I am ready to suffer, I am ready to do anything and everything. But only it should give you the pleasant aroma. And pleasant aroma, pleasant fragrance comes only when you obey the God. Let us look at the second aspect.
This correction has read of Ephesians 5 verse 2.
Yeah, please read, brother. Ephesians 5 verse 2.
Ephesians 5 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a
Yeah.
Very, very clear.
So this is also application and how Lord Jesus Christ loved us and he gave himself to the God, so the sweet fragrance may be developed, may be created. Thank you, brother. The second aspect or the second application part is, it is not only the sweet savor, but it is also a pleasant aroma, but it is also a personal aroma. Personal aroma? Yes, it is a personal aroma. Now just look at it. What the scripture says, Leviticus 1 verse, we have already read it. The end of it, soothing aroma to the Lord. Two more people are standing near the altar. Who are they? The priest is also standing. The offerer is also standing. But priest and offerer, they do not have any smell the soothing aroma is not for the offerer. The soothing aroma is not for the priest. The soothing aroma for whom? It is for the Lord alone. Now this is practical application for you and me. Whatever we do in our life, we should not do it to please ourselves. We should not do it to grow ourselves. Or we should not do it for others' sake, but we should do it for the sake of only Master, for the sake of only God. He should get that aroma, that pleasant aroma. You know, in the, I think it is in Exodus chapter 30 or 34, there is some sort of special ointment. And that ointment has to be used only in relation with the high priest and only in relation with God. And no other person can even make that ointment also. So like that way, the aroma is a personal aroma. Who is the author or who is the master of that aroma? Nobody else. We cannot get that aroma. We cannot do it for our sake. We cannot do it for the sake of others also. But only God should get that aroma, because that aroma belongs to Him only. It is a personal aroma. Do not, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. He says there that, have I started pleasing man? If I please man, I cannot serve my Master, who is Lord Jesus Christ. So the aroma is very much personal, and it is only for God. It is only to the upward direction. It is not for ourselves, and it is not for the sake of others also, but it should be only for the upward direction. Now in this connection, when Lord Jesus Christ shared it with Peter and the other disciples, he said that the Son of Man will be persecuted, and he will be killed, and he will be resurrected. So suddenly, Peter said in Matthew chapter 16 verse 22, Peter says, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Peter misunderstood. Not only Peter, Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, Mary was standing there, and Mary couldn't understand fully why his innocent son has to go on the cross of Calvary. John was also standing there, and he may be waiting for another miracle. Maybe he is thinking in his mind that Jesus Christ performed many miracles. Maybe he will come down at any moment. Even Satan was also did not understand fully. Otherwise, he will not tempt the Judas to sell him for 30 pieces. But Jesus knew it very well. In our ministry, in our service, whatever we do, many times people will misunderstand you. They will not understand it. Sometimes you yourself will not understand the significance or the importance or the outcome of your ministry. But if you are sure that you are doing it in the obedience of God, obedience of His will, obedience of His revealed will, obedience of His scripture, then you are very much assured that He is going to get His personal aroma. People will misunderstand. And this is what is being happening nowadays. The ministry, the real ministry is misunderstood. The people may misunderstand. This may happen. But do not worry. As far as you and me, we are concerned, we have to make sure that we are not doing it for our sake. We are not doing it to make people happy. We are just doing it to make our Master happy. The aroma should go only in upward direction. The aroma should be for God and God only. Let me read it, the same verse which brother have already read. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2. I want to bring out one more thought from this. 5:2 says, Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Now there are two thoughts here. Look at this verse again. Christ also loved you. Jesus loved you and me. But as far as giving himself is concerned, as far as giving the sweet fragrance is concerned, he gave himself to God. So that who may get the fragrance? God may get the fragrance. Not he himself get the fragrance. Not you and we get the fragrance. But God should get the fragrance initially. Of course, we have received the blessings, but the greatest things or the greatest blessings or the greatest fragrance who has received is God alone. So, Jesus loved you and me and he gave himself on the cross of Calvary to die so that God may get that fragrance. We have received the benefits, we have received the blessings, but the real fragrance belongs to God only. It is not belongs to you or it is not belongs to me. When we do something for God alone, or when we burn for Him alone, He is pleased with that and He get His personal aroma. That aroma is very much personal. He has the total authority on that. Let us go ahead. It is not only personal. Galatians 1 and 10 we have already read. We have also read Ephesians 5 and 2. It is not only personal aroma, but it is painful aroma. As far as man, you and me, we are concerned, it is painful aroma. Now let me ask one question. It is not easy to produce sweet aroma to God from our life. It is not easy. It is painful experience. It is difficult experience. You have to go from the cutting experience. You have to go from the bleeding experience. You have to go from the removing of skin experience. You have to go from the cleaning of unwanted things experience. You have to go through the burning experience. It is not easy to produce that fragrance. It is painful experience. Let me go it fast. Now just imagine, a farmer has 100 sheep and he decides to offer one sheep to God as a burnt offering. The remaining 99 sheep are there, but the one sheep is being offered on the altar. Everything is done according to the scripture. Everything is done. The body is burned and God is pleased and the farmer comes home back again. Now just think of that one sheep which is offered and think of the remaining 99 sheep. The one sheep went from the cutting experience. The one sheep went from the crucial experience and the one sheep has to die. But the 99 sheep, they are waking up in the morning, going to the field, eating, drinking, producing baby. They don't have the cutting experience. The aroma is a painful aroma. If you want to produce the aroma, it is not easy task. Many times we ask these questions. Why me, God? Why me? Why I am suffering? Why without mistake I am in pain? Why without mistake I have to chop off myself? Why without mistake I have to go from the skinning experience, from the burning experience? Look at the other people. Look at the other believers maybe. They are enjoying it. It is because you have been chosen to produce the sweet fragrance for God. Yes, God has chosen you for that special purpose. Shall we read one scriptural portion in this connection? Sheep is chosen for pain. You and me, we have chosen for that. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21 says, For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow his step. Why me? It is because God has chosen us. Think of Stephen. Stephen was stoned to death. And even when Stephen was going through the terrible experience, painful experience, in the last of his breath, he looked at heaven and he uttered the similar verse, God forgive him. He just did the same thing which his master did. He just went from the same painful process from where his master or Lord Jesus Christ went. It is not only Stephen, but it is Paul, it is Peter, it is John the Baptist who went from the similar painful process, similar painful experience, and through their lives, through their painful experience only, that aroma was generated. Is it not? Paul says, I am crucified and it is no more me who is living, but it is Christ living in me. Stephen, you have been stoned to death. Paul, where are you? I am also on the cross. And Paul gives a big list of it. How he went from the painful experiences in his life to give the sweet fragrance, sweet aroma to Lord. I will not read that list because our time is running ahead. I will just give you the reference. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 to 28. Paul gives the big list of it. How, from what difficulty he went and he gave the sweet aroma to God. Let us go ahead. It is a peaceful aroma. Peaceful, it means what I mean to say, that it is a slow process. It is not fast process. Now, I want to ask one question in this connection. The burning on the altar, was it fast or slow? Why it is slow? Yeah, the flesh is raw, okay, that is okay, but when the fire is coming out, the fire is slow or the fire is high? Sorry? Yeah, so was it slow or it is
slow?
Slow. Okay, any particular reason just to consume it? If it has to be consumed, then if the fire is quick or if the fire is fast, then it will consume quickly. Is it not over there? Okay.
It is a raw
meat, okay. It will take time to consume or it will time to vanish completely. Right? So was it slow?
Slow.
So if it is slow, then it will take time. But, okay. Now, let me give you one example, practical example. You put a burner or you switch on your cylinder, gas cylinder, and you put the burner on. And suppose you put one raw chicken piece. Now, you want to make it completely burn and you want to just, make it like powder, ashes. There are two methods. If you switch on the burner for a lesser level, will it take more time? And if you switch on the burner for a high flames, it will take less time. Is it not for that? Okay. So here, what I want to say, here in the burnt offering, the flames, are they slow flames or they are made in a bigger way or they are, high intensity flames? There is a reference for that. It is slow. Why?
Wood is arranged on the top of the wood.
Okay. First is fire, then wood, and on top of wood is the animal parts and all. Okay. So the flames are in a high frequency or the flames are burning slow. This is what I mean to say. Okay. We will read one scriptural portion. It is there on the slide. Leviticus 6 verse 13 says that fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It is not to go out. Leviticus 6 verse 13 says that the altar, there should be continuous fire. So for this purpose, the fire flames or, the burning process is not a speedy process. The burning process is a slow process because overall, it may be day, it may be night, it may be afternoon, the fire should be kept continuously on. So the burning on the altar is a slow burning. The burning of the burnt offering is not to get rid of the sin, but to give the fragrance. In case of getting rid of the sin, okay, bring the flesh, keep it or dump it on the altar, let's burn it quickly, so that sin will be evaporated, sin will be gone and we will go home. The purpose of the burnt offering burning is not to evaporate or not to vanish the sin, but to create the sweet fragrance. Now, let me give you two examples. suppose how the fragrance is created and how the fragrance may be kept for a longer time. Suppose if I bring a perfume bottle here and if I apply it 2-3 times, the fragrance will remain for another 5 or 10 minutes. After that, the fragrance will start decreasing. Then what I will do? I will again apply it after 5-10 minutes. Again, 10 minutes the fragrance are there. This is the one way. By this way, after every 10 minutes if I am applying the perfume, let's see, for the next 24 hours, the room will be sweet savored, sweet fragrance will be there. The second method, I open the complete bottle of the perfume and I just shed it here and there, I finish the bottle. By this method, the fragrance will remain for how many hours, you think? Will it be more than 24 hours or it will be, of course, less than 24 hours? It will be less than 24 hours. Now let us compare the fragrance. When Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and we know that is the highest fragrance and that is the highest part of obedience. But it is not only God was pleased with that sacrifice. What I want to say, that when Jesus Christ came on the earth, in Gospel of Luke chapter 2, we read that the heavenly creation, angels came and they gave glory and praise to the God. When Lord Jesus Christ took the baptism, the verse says that God said, I am pleased with it. When Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, we again read that this is my beloved son, I am pleased with him. And the highest pleasing or the highest climax we see on the cross of Calvary. That was the highest. But it is not only that part of Jesus' lives or that things which God gave him fragrance. God gave the fragrance throughout the life of Lord Jesus Christ. How much time it took for Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary? How many hours he was burning literally? Actually, the burning was not started on the cross itself. The burning started one night before, when he was being persecuted, when he was being scourged and all. So the burning started from that till the last moment. And you see, every pain, every burning, everything which he is doing, it is a slow process. And with that every process, God is pleasing. God decided to bruise his son, bruising, and he's doing it, and the sweet fragrance is coming out. So the fragrance is a slow process. It is a peaceful process. It is a slow process. Dying once is easy, but dying daily and slowly, it is what? Difficult. This is what scripture demands from you and me. Is it not mentioned in Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2? Offer your body as a living sacrifice. Just compare it with those animal parts in the burnt offering. They are the dead animal part. But in New Testament, what it is said? Offer your body as a living sacrifice. It is demanded from you and me that we should burn ourselves continuously, so that sweet fragrance, sweet aroma may be created. It is not burning for the Lord just one day and the remaining part of our life, no burning at all. This is what is expected, that we should burn for Lord, we should die for Lord daily. It is never ending burning. Till we die or till the last breath of our nostrils, we have to burn continuously. Burning is a peaceful or it is a slow process. Why I mentioned peaceful? It is because when we go through the burning experience, do not utter any word or do not say anything wrong or do not complain, do not murmur, burn it, but without opening anything, any word. That is what Lord Jesus Christ has done. We have already read that one in chapter 53. Is our life is on God's altar or our life is under God's shelter? It is the shelter experience many people likes. We want comfortable shelter. We don't want to burn on God's altar. But the word of God demands we have to offer our body as a living sacrifice. Not dead sacrifice, but living sacrifice. We have to burn. The same scriptures we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20 says that, glorify God in your body. And let me finish this. I will take another 5 minutes. Excuse me for that, so that I can finish the complete burnt offering. The last one. It is a precious aroma. It is a costly aroma. In Old Testament times, the animal which the offerer has to offer, it costs them something. And the offerer has to offer the animal according to his ability. If the offerer has the ability to offer the bull, he cannot offer pigeon. If offerer has the ability to offer a bull, let's see, offerer has got 10 bulls. So can he, out of these 10 bulls, can he offer the worst bull or he can offer the best bull? He can offer any bull. No, he cannot offer any bull. So the male bull, the blemished bull, the perfect bull, it will cost the offerer more. So the fragrance is a precious aroma. This suggests that some have more requirement than the others. I will just read one scripture portion. Luke 12 verse 48 says, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. If God asks you, are you prepared to give him your best, which will cost you more? Are you prepared to give your best? Abraham gave his best. God asked Abraham, Abraham, I want your beloved son, I want your only son to offer me as a burnt offering on the mount. Abraham might have thought in his mind, God, why my son? Is it okay if I give you 100 bulls? Is it okay if I give all my flocks? Is it okay if I give everything? Why my son? The son was best for Abraham. The son was precious for Abraham. And Abraham was ready to give his best to God when God demanded it, when God asked it. It is not only Abraham. Abraham gave almost his best. It is David also who paid the charges. I think this verse is a wonderful verse. I must read it to you. 2 Samuel verse 20, chapter 24, verse 24 says, however, the king said to Arauna, King David said to Arauna, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, for I will not offer burnt offering to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. What is the cost of your offering? What is the cost that you pay for your worship? Is it you offer something to God which will cost you nothing? No, God do not want that will cost you nothing. God wants something which will cost you something, or God wants the best of you. We know it very well that in the days of Malachi, people used to bring the sacrifices which are lame and which are blind and which are defective and all. But God was not pleased with them. God wants our best. God expects that we give our best to him. Abraham gave his best. David gave his best. In fact, God the Father gave his best. What was the best? He gave his only begotten son, only precious son. And now it is our turn. God is asking, you give your best to me, not worse to him. God expects, because that aroma is a precious aroma. That aroma is a costly aroma. That aroma is a pricely aroma. If you have the capacity to offer bull, you cannot offer turtle dove and expect that, God, do you get good aroma? No. God will only receive sweet fragrance when you give best. It is our part. I will say one word and then I will finish it. Mark 14 verse 8 says, she has done what she could. It is said about Mary. Mark 14 verse 8 says, she has done what she could. Just think about it. and apply this verse into our heart. Lord, when I see in my life, when you may be seeing in your life, Lord, there are still many things which I could do, but still I haven't done my best. There are still many things in my life, maybe I could give, but so far I haven't given. She got the wonderful opportunity. That opportunity will not come to her again and again. That opportunity may not be coming to you again and again. But God has given us the opportunity. Till we are here on the face of the life, till the Lord Jesus Christ coming is tarry, it is delayed, we have that opportunity to do what we could do. Lord, I could give bull, but let that bull be there. I will keep on giving turtle dose. God wants our best. What the five different applications which we draw from the sweet aroma. We saw it is a pleasant aroma to God. God is delighted in that. It is not only pleasant, it is a personal. It belongs to God only. It is not belongs to you, me or anybody else. It is a personal aroma. It is a painful aroma. We have to undergo through the painful process to give that sweet aroma to God. It will cost us something. Are you ready to bear the pain so that God may be pleased? Are you ready to bear ready to go through the difficult situation so that He may be pleased? It is a painful aroma. It is a peaceful aroma. It is a slow process. It is a slow, constant, consistent process. And lastly, it is a precious aroma. Yes, God is expecting from you and me that we may give our best to Him because He has given His best to us. May these scriptural portions, God may use this for our blessings and we may able to practice this in the days to come. Thank you.